Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we discuss our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. Then we also have, you know, an awful lot of violence and mistreatment of freed slaves after the war, during and after the war. Anytime that you have freed slaves in the story, it's that they're not well treated, because this is now Reconstruction era in the Deep South was not good. And also convicts. When we have convicts in the lumber mill, when Scarlett hires convicts, because they're cheap. They're cheap labor. Ashley wants to hire freed slaves and give them a decent wage and a decent job. Scarlett, you know, doesn't want the freed slaves hired because it costs more. The convicts are dirt cheap. Yeah, and makes them uppity. Yeah. Can't have them earning a decent wage. Oh boy, this book is full of terrible stuff. And I probably should have said that at some point, you know, I think we mentioned it before, that Ashley is working for Scarlett and running one of her lumber mills. And so that kind of violence and mistreatment runs throughout the whole book, obviously, from when there are slaves to when there are freed slaves and the convicts. There's that red line of violence and mistreatment runs through the whole book. And then the race-related violence is particularly ugly in Gone with the Wind. And again, I encourage people to read the book, not just watch the movie. Excuse me. One of the guys from Scarlett's childhood, basically, Tony Fontaine, he murders a freed black man because he believes that that man has made suggested he was going to have some sort of physical relationship with Tony's sister-in-law, whose husband died in the war. And that is what sparks the meeting that Ashley and Frank and everybody go to. That's basically a KKK meeting, you know, just without being said it's a KKK meeting. And Frank Kennedy is killed. So, for example, that act of violence, those scenes that revolve around those actions is very racist in the book, in the movie, however you read it. It's, you know, a black man is killed for something that we don't really know. Was he going to do anything? We don't really know. It's just Tony says. This white guy, Tony says. And he kills this black man, and then all hell breaks loose, right? So, scenes like that in the story are very hard to deal with, because I know from my research that Margaret Mitchell researched the behaviors of lynch mobs and, you know, the pre-KKK organizations that supposedly were initiated and started to protect white people in the South after the slaves were freed. She did a lot of research about that. She was writing in the 1930s, okay? So she was researching stuff that had happened during the Civil War and immediately after. She chose to write those scenes the way she did. I'm assuming, believing that they were historically relevant. It doesn't make them easy to read. It doesn't make them, you know, it's not good. And but, you know, so there's that scene, and when Frank is killed and all the stuff that happens around that. And then there's, you know, Scarlett drives around in this buggy by herself. In the book, she has a driver for a while, this guy named Archie, and he eventually refuses to drive her because of what has happened with her behavior. He doesn't like the stuff that she's doing. As you know, she's been a little too unwomanly, I guess. And when she gets attacked, when she's driving her buggy alone, that's also part of all this stuff that happens that leads to Frank getting killed, her husband getting killed. You know, and she's attacked by two men. One's white and one's black. Which I kind of feel like Margaret Mitchell was trying to be, you know, historically accurate and fair in that there were, you know, there were white men after the war who had nothing. They'd had nothing before the war, probably. They had nothing after the war. Some of them were, you know, just what in the day would have been called white trash, you know? And they're living in shanty towns on the outskirts of almost every city in the South at this point. And there are freed slaves there, too. So these two men who are working together, I mean, they're acting as cohorts, are the ones that attack Scarlett. And, you know, again, there's that potential that she might be raped or something, but they definitely want whatever they can get from her in terms of things of financial value. They're robbing her. But it's in these scenes, the hardest part of these scenes, I think, are the dialects and the language used by Margaret Mitchell, either in her character's words or just in her descriptive stuff. You know, that's where you get language and dialogue and stuff like that, that by modern standards, the nicest thing you can say is that it's problematic. The truth is it's very racist. It's very uncomfortable to read. Try reading it out loud. Oh, good luck. I mean, you know, I don't know how a person would read this book out loud in the modern world.
And I think it feeds into that stereotype that if not Mitchell, at least Scarlett herself has, that, you know, the types of black people in her world are loyal slaves,
right,
or they are rapists.
Right, and I will say that, you know, to be fair, you know, look at how white people are depicted in this book. You've got the Jonas Wilkersons type white people who are just horrible, and you've got the decent white people, you know, who, I mean, I don't know, who should we say is a decent white person in this book, you know, but you know what I mean? Even in this little historical, fictional fantasy world of the you know, that is Scarlett O'Hara's life, one of the things that's very clear is that skin color doesn't make you good or bad. There are good and bad black people in this book, and there are good and bad white people in this book. And so that's something that Margaret Mitchell, I don't think she's emphasizing that, but she's written characters where we get it. We get that. So at least we got that going for us, right, in trying to talk about this book in a more positive way than some of the stuff we have to talk about in such a negative way. Fair's fair, though. If it's negative, we got to call it out, right?
I think what's interesting to me about the whole KKK scenes / precursor to the KKK is Mitchell and Scarlett, neither of them support the KKK.
Oh, no. Especially
at Scarlett. Say,
yeah.
The best you can say about it is Scarlett's like, that is darn foolish to be involved with.
And that's what makes me so mad about the movie, because that is not clear in the movie. And people, you know, hold the movie and the book up as glorifying the Old South and the Lost Cause mythology and all that stuff. And if you read the book, that was not Margaret Mitchell's message. And the movie, especially when they have the words at the very beginning that say, look not for it anywhere else. It's a, you know, this culture is gone with the wind, you know, an age of chivalry and blah, blah, blah is gone with the wind. I mean, it makes it very like, oh, it's gone, so sad. And that's not what the book really is like. The book takes you through these historical time periods of the war and its aftermath, the Reconstruction era, in a way that really is saying this is bad stuff, you know. And Ashley represents that when he wants to hire freed slaves, you know. I mean, there's a lot in this book where the representation for treating people equally and doing the right thing is there. Now, whether or not Scarlett or whatever character agrees with that idea, you know, that depends on the scene, but you're right. She has absolutely no use for the KKK. She thinks it is absolutely, and from a business standpoint, she really thinks it's stupid.
Right. You know? Right. And I also want to call out that Scarlett is held to blame by her close friends mm-hmm. and by society at large, as she's the one, it's her fault
yes.
that people died because of this action.
Because she was riding alone in her buggy. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. She put herself at risk, mm-hmm. and therefore her white femininity, sexuality was then threatened by her own fault, and these men had to go and ride out and protect white womanhood. And so it's her fault that this happened.
Yeah, and I don't buy that. I disagree with I agree with what you're saying. I think you're absolutely right. What I don't like is that or what I disagree with is those stupid men in the book who ride out and take vengeance or whatever.
Yep.
I mean that was their choice. She didn't ask them to do that. And she shouldn't have been attacked just because she was riding alone in her buggy. I mean, this is she was asking for it all over again. This is the modern standard of what clothes were you wearing when he raped you? Where were you walking? Were you alone after dark? I mean, yeah, I was walking alone after dark. That doesn't mean I should have been raped, you know? I mean, this is the problem with, you know, anything that's like this in the books that we're looking at that are classics. When we're going back to that patriarchal dominance thing, there's a bias towards the woman being blamed for things that no human being should be blamed for, male or female. And yet, in this fictional story, it is Scarlett's behavior that causes, quote-unquote, causes these consequences to herself, to other people, including death. You know, Frank does die, you know, in the raid that the unnamed KKK group goes and cleans out the shanty town after Scarlett's attacked. So, yeah, it is all very hard to deal with. So let's pause here, and when we come back, we'll be talking about some more domestic issues, domestic violence issues in the book, I think. We might come back to some of these other issues too, but we'll talk about some of the more infamous, shall we say, scenes in the book that have to do with personal relationships. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Agreed?
Good.
All right. Thank you, Sarah E.
Thank you.
See you next time, folks, at the round table. This has been At the Round Table with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Round Table.